Welcome to Focus on Faith, a program of Christian music, thought and encouragement, presented by the congregation of Parapara'umi Baptist Church.
Today, we continue the theme of meals with Jesus. Humans have long associated the concepts that we need food in many different forms. I'm not just talking about ice cream or chocolate, broccoli or ham, but food that nourishes the mind, the soul, the spirit. We need our whole bodies and beings to be fed and to be nourished. So today, may you find that nourishment as you worship with us.
Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart,
Today we are thinking about meals with Jesus. I wonder what your family said as a grace before meals. In my family it was this: for what we are about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful. Amen. It could have been a child's grace, like this one. Thank you, God, for yummy meals, for fruit and bread and cheese. Thank God for this great world, for fields and trees and bees. Thank you, Lord, for families, for laughter and for fun. Thank you now for this fine food. Please bless it to our tum. And today is our karakia. We're going to have an extended grace or blessing before our meal. Blessed are you, God of all creation, whose very life permeates our world and whose goodness fills our hearts with joy. Blessed are you who have brought us together as friends and family. Lord, be present to us. Continue to work in us the wonder of your grace, forming us as your people, committed to justice and mercy, healing and compassion, in a world burdened by violence, injustice and indifference. Pour forth your blessing on us, renew and refresh us for our mission, making us effective leaders and wise stewards of your bountiful gifts. Bless this food we are about to share, a sign of your goodness to us. Bless those who prepared it and who serve it, and keep us ever mindful of those who go hungry this night. May our meal and this time nourish our bodies and strengthen the bonds that unite us in love and faithful service. We ask this through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me now, to love, to speak, to heal, to preach. The Spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me now, giving life. You turn ashes, songs of praise. Pour your spirit over me, let your love rain down. Would you take these hands of mine and use me? Pour your spirit over me, let your love rain down. Would you take these feet? Dancing anguish. you lead me to the wheel. That's where you are. You lead me to the lost. That's where you are. I want to be where you are.
Tēnā koutou katoa. Greetings. Thanks for joining with us this morning. Many years ago, I was invited to an event where I didn't really know anybody other than the person who had invited me. When I arrived, I hunted around for a seat, only to discover that the person I knew had reserved a seat for me at the top table. Suddenly, I felt very self-conscious. Been invited to sit as a guest of honour at the same table as the person who had invited me. Who we invite to a meal and how we treat them as guests actually says something about us as people. And this person I knew, not all that well actually, was telling me that I was important to them. But the reverse is also true. Think about events you have been to, perhaps a family wedding, where certain people were excluded from the invite list. Or if they were invited, they were stuck down the back, out of sight, and hopefully where they couldn't cause any trouble. A few weeks ago, I asked the question, if you could invite anyone, living or dead, to dinner, who would you invite? And most of you probably had someone that you would like to invite. But what about if we change that question to this? If you could invite anyone living or dead to dinner, who would you exclude? Who would you not want to share a meal with? Over the last few weeks, we have been thinking about the meals Jesus had with various people, as recorded by Luke in his Gospel. And as we have seen, these meals with Jesus tell us something about God, about grace, and about ourselves. The religious leaders of Jesus' day had quite a large group of people who would have made the not invited to dinner list. Non-Jews wouldn't make the list. And they took the prohibitions of Leviticus 21 and used it to specifically exclude the blind, crippled, or lame from entering the temple. Which is why they often found Jesus a bit of an awkward customer. Jesus seemed to be a prophet, and yet he ate with all the wrong people. In today's story, Jesus is again at the house of a Pharisee, when the topic of who to invite comes up for discussion. Listen to this as Cynthia reads it.
One Sabbath, Jesus was having dinner in the home of an important Pharisee, and everyone was carefully watching Jesus. All of a sudden, a man with swollen legs stood up in front of him. Jesus turned and asked the Pharisees and the teachers of the law of Moses, "Is it right to heal on the Sabbath?" But they did not say a word. Jesus took hold of the man. Then he healed him and sent him away. Afterwards, Jesus asked the people, "If your son or ox falls into a well, wouldn't you pull him out right away, even on the Sabbath?" There was nothing they could say. Jesus saw how the guests had tried to take the best seats. So he told them, "When you are invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the best place. Someone more important may have been invited. Then the one who invited you will come and say, 'Give your place to this other guest.' You will be embarrassed and will have to sit in the worst place. When you are invited to be a guest, go and sit in the worst place. Then the one who invited you may come and say, 'My friend, take a better seat.' You will then be honoured in front of all the other guests. If you put yourself above others, you will be put down. But if you humble yourself, you will be honoured." Then Jesus said to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, don't invite your friends and family and relatives and rich neighbours. If you do, they will invite you in return, and you will be paid back. When you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. They cannot pay you back. But God will bless you and reward you when his people rise from death." After Jesus had finished speaking, one of the guests said, "The greatest blessing of all is to be at the banquet in God's kingdom." Jesus told him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited a lot of guests. When the banquet was ready, he sent a servant to tell the guests, 'Everything is ready, please come.' One guest after another started making excuses. The first one said, 'Oh, I bought some land and I've got to look it over. Please excuse me.' Another guest said, 'I bought 5 teams of oxen and I need to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another guest said, 'Oh, I've just gotten married and I can't be there.' The servant told his master what happened, and the master became so angry that he said, 'Go as fast as you can to every street and alley in town. Bring in everyone who is poor or crippled or blind or lame.' When the servant returned, he said, 'Master, I've done what you told me, and there is still plenty of room for more people.' His master then told him, 'Go out along the back roads and fence rows and make people come in so that my house will be full. Not one of the guests I first invited will get even a bite of my food.'"
Jesus is invited to dinner on the Sabbath at the home of a Pharisee. And the story begins with Jesus healing a sick man on the Sabbath. But it's not just any sick person. This is a person with swollen legs, a cripple, a person deemed unclean and unfit by the Pharisees. And the comment that he leaves once healed implies he was not an invited guest, but someone who had slipped in to listen and observe. Keep that in mind as our story progresses. Jesus then speaks to the other guests, who he has noticed were all trying to get the best seats at the table. And Jesus warns them that those who seek to get the best seats may end up being relocated to the cheap seats when the host arrives. And then Jesus tackles one of the big cultural expectations of his day, the culture of reciprocity. Reciprocity was just the way things were. Every act of support you got from another came with the expectation that one day the social debt you incurred will be called in by the one who helped you. And this reciprocity carried over to meals. If I invite you to my house for a meal, then at some point in the future, you are expected to invite me to your house for a meal. Jesus says, if you really want to be generous, then invite those to a meal who will never be able to reciprocate. When you give a feast, says Jesus, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Remember that list? Those are the very people that the Pharisees had excluded as unfit and unworthy. And once Jesus has finished, there is a stunned silence until one guest blurts out, "The greatest blessing of all is to be at the banquet in God's kingdom." It's like one of those awkward religious statements people make to fill the silence. It's like, well, even if we never invite others for a meal, the big thing is that people get into God's banquet. And so Jesus tells the story of a man who throws a banquet, but each of the invited guests comes up with an excuse for not attending. And today we might say, well, yeah, those are fair excuses. But in Jesus' day, a banquet would consist of two invites. The first invite was so you could make sure you were free to attend. This allowed the host time to ensure the right amount of food was prepared. The second invite was the one to say, hey, the meal is ready. Come and eat. As we see in verse 17, everything is ready. Please come. The invited guests, however, all begin to make excuses. So the master sends his servant out to invite all and sundry to the meal. Go as fast as you can to every street and alley in town. Bring in everyone who is poor or crippled or blind or lame. There's that list again. Poor, crippled, blind, and lame. It's code for the most vulnerable in society. The man who throws the banquet is, of course, God. And those who ignored the invitation are the Pharisees, or those the Pharisees thought unworthy, the most vulnerable, are the very ones encouraged to enter. I wonder how often we may act like the Pharisees. The people we treat as acceptable are the people like us, and everyone else is considered as not acceptable. Timothy Keller writes these very hard-hitting words in his book, The Prodigal God, Recovering the Heart of the Christian Faith. Jesus' teaching consistently attracted the irreligious while offending the Bible-believing religious people of his day. However, in the main, our churches today do not have this effect. The kind of outsiders Jesus attracted are not attracted to contemporary churches, even our most avant-garde ones. We tend to draw conservative, buttoned-down, moralistic people, the licentious and liberated, or the broken and marginal, avoid church. That can only mean one thing. If the preaching of our ministers and the practice of our parishioners do not have the same effect that Jesus did, then we must not be declaring the same message Jesus did. Those are pretty tough words to hear. And even if we may not agree totally with what he says, we can't deny that many people do not find the church or Christians very welcoming. Unfortunately, the church is rarely seen as attractive to most Kiwis. Instead, we are often seen as abusive, bigoted, and self-righteous. So how might we be seen as different? What could we do to change our image? Well, perhaps we need to be more like Jesus and use meals as a way to move beyond our normal circle of contacts and out into the wider community. What would it look like if we were to take Jesus' words seriously and invite the poor, the crippled, the lame and blind into our homes for a meal. What kinds of conversations might we have if we did that? Jesus' words to invite the poor into our homes are incredibly challenging. At least I find them so. I suspect that many of us would rather serve others than have to spend time with them. Christine Paul, in her book Making Room, Recovering Hospitality as a Christian Tradition, writes, "Often we maintain significant boundaries when offering help to persons in need. Many churches prepare and serve meals to hungry neighbours, but few church members find it easy to sit and eat with those who need the meal. When people are very different from ourselves, we often find it more comfortable to cook and clean for them than to share in a meal and conversation. We are familiar with roles as helpers, but are less certain about being equals eating together. Many of us struggle with simply being present with people in need. Our helping roles give definition to the relationship, but they also keep it decidedly hierarchical." This was driven home to me in my last church. Every Christmas, we serve breakfast to the disadvantaged of our city, and I discovered that it was easier to serve them than it was to sit at a table with them. A simple meal forced me to see my own prejudices. I had to be honest with myself and admit that I really didn't want to know them personally. While there are lots of times and places we can serve, we should never allow serving to excuse us from sitting with others as equals in God's sight. I wonder what might be possible if we sat together at a meal with those not like us, the refugee, the gay person, someone of a different ethnicity, the outsiders on the Pharisees' list. Luke tells us about another meal Jesus invited himself to, a meal at the home of a notorious tax collector, the man called Zacchaeus.
Jesus was going through Jericho, where a man named Zacchaeus lived. He was in charge of collecting taxes and was very rich. Jesus was heading his way and Zacchaeus wanted to see what he was like. But Zacchaeus was a short man and could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree. When Jesus got there, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. I want to stay with you today." Zacchaeus hurried down and gladly welcomed Jesus. Everyone who saw this started grumbling. "This man Zacchaeus is a sinner, and Jesus is going home to eat with him?" Later that day, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "I will give half of my property to the poor, and I will now pay back four times as much to everyone I have ever cheated." Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today you and your family have been saved because you are a true son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to look for and to save people who are lost."
The crowd were pretty unimpressed with Jesus choosing to go to Zacchaeus' house. I suspect that Zacchaeus was a very infrequent attender at the synagogue, because it's pretty clear he was an outsider. So Jesus instead goes to his house, and in the exchange that takes place, Zacchaeus is transformed. Luke doesn't tell us what Jesus and Zacchaeus talked about, but in his own home around a table, Zacchaeus was open to listening, and the listening led to a change of heart. And let's be clear, Zacchaeus' change of heart wasn't just about saying he believed that Jesus was the Messiah. His change of heart led to a change of lifestyle. He stopped ripping people off, and he paid restitution to those he had ripped off. It shouldn't really surprise us that discussions about faith often take place around a table. When people have had their fill, when they feel relaxed and comfortable, when they feel safe, then often questions of faith are acceptable to ask. I've noticed that often if people feel they are equals, they will start that conversation. Our task as followers of Jesus is to listen, to not rush things, to let the Spirit guide the conversation. We are not there to win scalps or to prove we are right, but to enter their world. And in the process, both of us will be transformed by God's Spirit at work in them and in us. So as we finish this morning, two questions. Who is God inviting you to reach out to? Not to serve, but to befriend and extend grace to. And secondly, what have you done with God's great invitation to come to the feast? What is your response to that invitation? Yes or no? We're going to finish today with a song called So You Would Come. It's a reminder that God invites all of us, that in Jesus we see the depth of love God has for each and every one of us. If you'd like to know more about what's been talked about today, then we would love to hear from you. And you can make contact through our website, www.pb.org.nz. And here's the song.
Take them all. so you would come.
Our blessing for today is this. Be thankful for all God gives you. Share with others all God's goodness. As you provide hospitality, share the good news of the gospel, and if you need to, use words. Amen.
Voices to the Lord Most High. With joyful singing we will glorify the great Creator, the author of all life. We are His people and He is our God. He always guides us in His ways with love. Let joyful praises come fill this place. Enter His courts and let the praises start. Give God the glory, for He deserves it all. All of creation lives to worship God. We were created as an act of love. Let adoration flow from this place in song.
The voices you heard today were first myself, Graham, then Terry, then Andrew and Xanthia. The first song was Come People of the Risen King, sung by Keith and Kristen Getty. From Ashes to Beauty by Tom Reed was our second song. The third, So You Would Come, from Hillsong Worship. And we finished with We Lift Our Voices to the Lord Most High, from Resound Worship.
Now, if you want to speak to someone, why not contact us? Simply Google Patapata Umu Baptist Church and you'll find all the details. If you don't have access to a computer, you can phone us 04-298-7766, 04-298-7766. You can email us and that will come direct to me, office@pb.org.nz. That's office@pb.org.nz. Or simply go to Google and type in churches near me and you'll find a whole community of people who'd be happy to talk and help you through this period of time and of life. You've been listening to Focus on Faith, brought to you by the Congregation of Patapata Umu Baptist. Meet with us again, this time next week. Bye for now.
This program is made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.